Hello and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. Waiting for David Ray to call in. I got 20 miles before I get to the truck stop, so I can't read the book. And David don't have a book anymore. I don't know where his is. Hello!
Hello!
Did you find your Free Food and Medicine book?
Nope.
All right, well, I still got 20 miles of driving before I can read from the book. So maybe you can Google some stuff.
That I might be able to do.
All right. Yep, since the last two places didn't have parking. Well, one did, but it said 30-minute parking. And I wasn't going to risk being in logbook violation of the New World Order.
Right.
And all that. I just kept on keeping on. There's another truck stop down here in the boonies when I get to the Arkansas border. They'll have parking. Now, whether or not I'll have signal is another story. But I can always call in with my other phone if this one loses signal. And I can finish the podcast with it if I got signal on it. So, last week's topic, I can't remember.
Me neither.
Well, the topic prior to last week's topic was Candida. And this one was related. And it also was related to parasites.
Mm.
And so we were going to read and talk about parasites this week. Mm. And I can't remember what last week's was about.
Right.
But, side note, until we get to that subject, we just got done with our ScrapGov Scrap podcast where they were talking about mandatory lockdowns and coronavirus vaccines and masking and mandates and all this other New World Order bullcrap. And, at the conclusion of the podcast, we were talking about, you know, we were basically advertising this podcast by saying, if they do refuse us the ability to buy food, then that's where this podcast comes in. We can learn how to basically forage for our own food, transplant, and cultivate seeds and grow the product or grow the wild edibles on our own land or in other strategic locations like gangster gardening and guerrilla gardening and be able to still be able to feed yourself even if the government refuses you the ability to be able to feed yourself. So what was your comment?
Well, one of your comments was, my comment on that is, they have in the past made attempts to stop people from doing the very thing that you're talking about doing. I believe it was the Vietnam War. Agent Orange was specifically sprayed to deforest and remove all vegetation from the landscape so that
which
the locals...
Which is why the military got poisoned.
Oh, yeah. This is true. They were willing to poison their own people in order to stop their opponent from being able to grow food, wild or otherwise.
Yeah, but we're scattered. Well, I guess that, you know, yeah, they could still do that and then make it basically make us eat Chinese grown food.
And,
or, you know, spray the Agent Orange over the areas that they're not planning on cropping. But we're right next door. Well, it don't matter. They're the government. They can do whatever they want because we've given them the power, money, and power to do whatever they want.
Yeah, they'll use Roundup instead.
Right. So, but we're right next to a GMO farmer, so they're not going to spray that stuff over us because they want the GMO farmer to grow his food.
Yep.
So there you go.
Depends on how much control they want.
Right. So the phrase, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, that's where that comes in. Although our Roundup neighbor is not our enemy, but his product is.
Yeah.
But his product's not going to attack us. So we're good. I don't know. Maybe corn might start growing legs. Or maybe even the children of the corn might come and get us.
Children of the corn.
Yeah. And the soybeans. It'll be children of the corn and kittens of the soybean. Killer kittens.
Killer kittens.
I saw this meme where this mermaid was sitting on the edge of the waterway brushing her hair, and a cat pops up and she goes, "Oh, how cute." And then a whole bunch of cats pop up, and they start licking her. And she's like, "Oh, it tickles." And then the next screen shows a half-eaten mermaid. They only ate the bottom half.
Yep, all
and,
the good part.
Yeah. And the cops are like, this is the third case this week. Trying to figure out what happened, you know. Killer
right.
kittens. But we're not mermaids or mer people, so we're safe, I think. But I don't know. What was that scary movie where all the animals turned on all the humans?
Oh, there's probably more than one, but...
Yeah, Denise knew what it was, but I'm not in communication with her anymore. I'm like, dang it! I gotta figure out what... That movie scared the pee-pee out of me. But, or the poo-poo. It scared the poo-poo out of me. It scared the poopy out of me, as my grandpa would say. He wouldn't say, you know, shirt. He would say poopy.
There you go.
Whole shirt. Anyways, yeah, it scared the shirt out of me. And, but I'm just curious, you know, what the movie was called. But yeah, all the domestic animals and all the wild animals turned on all the humans, and it was almost like zombie apocalypse, and they had to get to, you know, safe havens where they had like barricades and stuff where they protected themselves from these wild animals. Wild and domestic wild animals. It was crazy. So,
right.
Like a Parasite. Yeah, look up the song Like a Parasite by the Queers. It's a creepy romantic love song. So we're going to talk about parasites today. Let's see. Off the top of my head, there is the neem plant is antiparasitic. Tobacco is an antiparasitic. Wormwood, obviously. Black walnut, what else?
Wormwood? You probably said that already.
Yeah. I still got 10 miles to go. 10 miles to go down the road. 10 miles to go. Not going down, kick it around. I still got 10 miles to go down the road. So anyways.
Nope, that's just one product. Darn. Well, Herbs Forever confirms that neem is an antiparasitic.
Who?
The neem oil is an antiparasitic. Oh, that's interesting. It gives the English name for the plant as margosa tree.
Margosa.
The margosa tree. So that might be something we can look into.
There you go. Did any of our neem seeds take off or no?
All two of them? No. Oh, wait a minute. I was thinking something else. No, none of the neem seeds have taken off.
Oh, okay. That's too bad.
Parasites in humans,
more.
Not just... Oh, this is an ad. Never mind.
Oh, Diatomaceous earth is a dewormer. It won't get rid of all parasites, but it will get rid of some of them.
What plant do you get that from?
That's not a plant. It's a seashell down by the seashore.
That is true. It's the shells of microscopic organisms.
Yep. Yeah, so, yeah, David brought up an interesting dilemma the other day. He was talking about, bugs. Do we keep our feed in these plastic containers with, plastic locking lid containers? And David was concerned about, bugs in the feed burrowing through and making holes in the plastic containers. And I realized later that we put diatomaceous earth and dewormer herbs in our feed. So if there are any bugs, it probably kills them. Because that diatomaceous earth is supposed to kill a lot of different bugs, like cockroaches and whatnot.
Dr. Jockers has 12 herbs that kill parasites naturally.
Bada-boom! What are they?
I'm waiting for it to load up my browser so I can read them off.
Oh, okay.
Let's see now. Probably wants me to watch this video. Parasites can be 50% of the American population.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not counting the animals.
Right. Too much pork and other crap. But you can get parasites anywhere. It's not just from eating bad food or food that's bad for you.
Wow, this guy talks about you can get them from eating unclean meats, like
nice.
Shellfish and pork and. Oh,
and vegetarians
nice.
And vegans.
Yeah, don't eat vegetarians and vegans. They're not clean. Roundworms, hookworms, flukes, tapeworm, nematodes. Oh, there's two different types of nematodes, apparently. And there's symptoms and warning signs that you have bacterial yeast and parasitic overgrowth. Now, that is something. You want to have organisms in you.
Right.
All right. You want to have bacteria and stuff like that. And even the quote-unquote bad bacteria as long as it's in its proper proportion, it's not bad.
Well, yeah, even the veterinarian said, you know, a small amount of worms in the goats is good for them because it helps get rid of some of the bad stuff that they might have in their system. But when they get too many worms, then that's whenever they start killing the host.
That's, you know, it's talking about risk factors for getting parasites. Unnecessary use of antibiotics, poor sleeping habits, poor dietary habits, chronic stress, major traumas or injuries. Other factors that increase risk is owning pets, traveling to third world countries, and not washing your produce.
You're not washing your hands when you go to the bathroom.
Well, yeah. First one he lists is black walnut. It contains a large amount of cytotoxin compound called juglone. I don't know how to pronounce it. J-U-G-L-O-N-E. A lot of people blame that chemical on making the soil acidic or something underneath the oak trees, and that's why nothing else grows. It's a hormone that black walnut exudes, and it keeps down its competitors.
Including when limited to the parasites.
Say that again?
I said including but not limited to the parasites.
Yeah, which would be our enemies, basically. And then sweet wormwood.
Oh, yeah, we said that.
It inhibits one of the most deadly malaria parasites.
Malaria.
Okay. It's a bitter herb with properties that kill parasites.
We put that in our cattle feed. I mean, our goat feed, dog feed, cat feed, chicken feed. We put that. We put black walnut.
A parasite.
Like a parasite. Why not?
Because the third one is garlic, and I absolutely love garlic. What's this one? Oregano? Oregano is not just tasty, not just great tasting on pizza. This is also
what,
one of
garlic?
The most... oregano.
Oh, oregano. Sorry, I went in a valley and I bleeped out.
Antimicrobial. I'm sorry, what?
I went in a valley and I bleeped out.
Ah.
Okay,
it's one of the most powerful antimicrobial substances we currently know of. Wow.
And oregano will also help fight the corona and any other viruses.
There you go. Ooh, it's effective against MRSA. Or MRSA, however you want to pronounce those four letters.
It's a four-letter word.
Used to treat it's a four-letter initial. Used to treat toenail fungus. Natural antibiotic.
Oh.
Treat ringworm and athlete's foot. Great for gingivitis. Treat candida and yeast infections UTIS, I guess that's another initial disease. Great for sinus infections and allergies. Dilute in water and drink it. Treats bronchitis and croup. Oh, we lost our co-host. Tribulus. I'm going to spell that because I have no idea whether I pronounced it right or not. Tribulus. I'll say it again slower. Tribulus. I assume that's Tribulus. But, yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce the vowels. It's a flowering plant that is renowned in southern Europe and the Middle East. This herb is shown to have strong antimicrobial effects against 11 pathogenic microbes, including Staphylococcus aureus. That one I don't know. I don't know that one either, but it's one of the, E. coli, basically. Right. Sorry, folks, I'm not up on pronouncing scientific words, and that was a whole list of them. Mimosa pudica. Oops. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that looks like Touch Me Not. There's a cartoon picture of it. But it's got, the cartoon picture shows the typical mimosa puffball flower on this kind of stringy vine thing with feathery leaves. And Touch Me Nots is much like this, but it has little thorns all up and down the stems, and they don't show that in this cartoon picture. So I'm wondering if it's the same plant. Let's see. I'm going to do a search. And let's see what my search engine says. I want to see images. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let me add the word Touch Me Not. And there we go. Yeah, that's what they sell it as is in the store. Okay. We actually have this one growing around the land. I didn't know it had herbal qualities. Okay, so the list of health challenges that have historically benefited from Mimosa pudica is interesting and varied. Basically, it's been used for dysentery, leprosy, jaundice, asthma, uterine problems, blood diseases, fatigue, and more. Well, that's all he says about it. And he recommends a book. It has anti-venom effects. An antidepressant, anti-anxiety. It's an antimicrobial, antifungal.
Okay, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Hello again.
All right, cool. Sorry,
yeah,
I lost
signal. Drop off. I just kept on going, and then I got kicked.
Oh, well, hopefully. We're still recording. Did it say it was recording?
Yeah, it just said it was recording. You didn't turn on the recording?
No, because if I dialed in with the one that auto records, then it would have stopped the recording. Anyways, let me double check.
Oh, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Well, we both got kicked. And
all right,
it did say something about recording.
All right, let me double check. Okay.
He didn't say anything.
Okay. We're recording. We're recording. Okay, where's my book? I lost my book. Oh.
Mimosa pudica, the most powerful herb for parasites?
Mimosa?
Mimosa pudica.
Pudica.
Pudica. The touch-me-nots that we have growing on our land with the pink puffball flowers and all the thorns on the stem.
Oh, I know what we was talking about last week. Leaky gut.
Yes. Yes, because I was misinformed as to its full nature. So basically,
well,
what you described to me is when it gets to its worst.
Right. We was talking about an ingredient in the cottage cheese, and you said it caused leaky gut.
And it does.
And this doctor who's been trying to recruit me into Plexus multi-level marketing company keeps talking about leaky gut. And this doctor that he follows who started Plexus always talks about leaky gut, and supposedly they got the cure or at least the treatment. Well, I'll have to cross-reference their stuff and see if it's got these ingredients in it. But anyway.
mono and diglycerides are the worst emulsifiers in your food. They basically emulsify your gut. And that's why you get leaky gut from eating them.
Yeah, so let me find the right page again. Here we go. So, in reading Leaky Gut, it said also see parasites, candida, and fungus. So that's why we're here, parasites. We're talking about parasites. And the podcast prior to Leaky Gut, we talked about candida and fungi. So, parasites. Like a parasite, I want to crawl all over you. Like a parasite, think of all the good things we can do. I love that song.
Oh, yeah, the other name is a sensitive plant. Because when you touch it, the leaves close up.
Oh, like touch me nuts?
Yeah, that's just the other name.
Okay, we are on the parasite page. There's a lot of stuff for parasites. All right, I'll let you finish, and then I'll start reading.
Well, let me go back to – oh, here it is. They got that same picture again. So I was just basically reading the picture. I don't know if it got through on the original recording because I just cut off in the middle while I was looking at it.
The last thing I heard was garlic. We was talking about garlic.
Okay, well, I kept going after you got cut off. So this Mimosa pudica, or sensitive plant, or touch me not, supports wound healing. It's has anti-venom effects, soothing hemorrhoids and ulcers. Yeah, it sounds kind of contradictory since it has so many thorns. It's antidepressant, anti-anxiety. It improves indigestion and diarrhea. I really don't know if I want better diarrhea. Anyway, it's antimicrobial, antifungal, antiparasitic, antimicrobial, antifungal, okay, and then antiparasitic, and then antiviral. And then it reduces joint pain. So I'm curious how they say to use it. Do, 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 do.
Where the heck did the water go?
Right. Oh. Okay. Its seeds look a lot like that other seed plant that we get all over our clothes, but I don't think it does that. Wow, this is a long article talking about its benefits.
Cool.
Huh. I don't know if you just make a tea or take the herb or what. Ah, Dr. Jockers sells a pill that has it in it. So just take the herb. Yeah, well, you know, this is off of Dr. Jockers' site, so he's going to advertise his stuff.
Dr. All Jekyll? Right.
The website is drjockers.com. And that's where I was finding this.
What was that last plant called?
Mimosa pudica. I'm probably mispronouncing the pudica part, but it's not or sensitive plant.
Marcus didn't have it on his list.
As Mimosa pudica, he might have it as touch me not.
Let me see.
Or sensitive plant.
Nope.
Interesting.
Oh, well. I'm going to look up the mimosa and see if he's got it. I know he's got the other mimosa, but I don't know if he's got that mimosa. Can you spell it?
Yeah, they might be. These are probably distant relatives to each other.
I know.
Because there's an herb called mimosa as well. It has white puffball flowers.
Never mind, I found it. No, I didn't, but I'm pretty close. How do you spell it?
Pudica?
Mimosa.
P-U-D-I. Oh, mimosa. My mind just went blank. M-I-M-O-S-A. Mimosa.
Oh, here we go. I skimmed right over it. Okay, no, he's just got the regular mimosa.
The tree?
Also known as the silk tree.
Yep. Flowers make a great tea. Very tasty. Ah. It does indicate that pregnant women should not take Mimosa pudica. So it's probably, oh yeah, it has anti-fertility properties.
So it could cause you to have a miscarriage. Hey, that'd be good for me though. I don't want fertility.
Yeah, I hear you. So I need to stay away from this one.
Nah.
Well, I can take it right up until I find a girlfriend. Then I should stop.
Depends on what the long-term effects are.
Yep.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Parasites. Let me look at the previous page, make sure I'm not... Nope. Okay. All right. Andrographis is the number one. Apricots, and maybe even the apricot seed. I'm not sure. Ash, the American mountain ash, to be specific. Aspen, basil, bee balm, betch, or beech. No, it's probably betch. B-E-E-C-H. Black-eyed
vetch?
Susan. Not vetch, betch.
With a B.
B-E-E-C-H. We can look that up real quick.
A beech.
No.
Talking about a tree.
Yeah, but beech is, well, it might be pronounced beech. I don't know. Some beach somewhere. 282. I passed it. 282. The beech tree. The seeds come almost look like those nigger toes. What are those called?
I don't know what that plant is.
Oh, Brazil nuts. Okay.
Oh.
When you crack open a Brazil nut, the seeds of the betch or beech tree look like the seeds of a Brazil nut.
Wonder if they're related.
Well, they may not be as big. It's just they look similar. Tree grows to 100 feet. Doesn't even start producing seeds till they are 50 years old. Can't plant none of them. Well, maybe. Gray bark with edible triangular nuts, which are used to expel worms. Bark used for lung problems, and leaves used as external wash for skin problems like poison ivy, diaper rash, or burns. Young leaves are edible. The sweet seeds remove brown covering, are totally edible, and can be crushed into butter or mixed with liquid. Add to flour or berries. Do not eat too many raw nuts. Not sure why. Probably give you diarrhea.
Right.
It'll expel more than just worms. So that's the betch or beech tree. Black-eyed Susans. That's the flower that grows near the ground. Isn't that related to the echinacea? Or is that the lazy Susan?
The brown eyes, yes. They're both cone flowers.
Okay. Black walnut, blue vervain, buckthorn, butternut, wild carrot leaves. I wonder if that includes hemlock.
No.
I'm just kidding. Wild carrot leaves, catalpa, cedar, chonka piedra, chaparral, chokecherry root, cloves, coconut, freshly ground, compass plant. Never heard of it. I've heard of it, but I don't know what that one is. Cucumber. I'm not sure what this word is. Eclipta. Eclipta. Oh, here's another one. Ella campaign. Fennel. Garlic. Gentane. Like plantain, but gentane. Never heard of that. Goat's rue. Hazelnut. Filbert. Or hazel filbert nut. I'll have to look that one up.
Filbert nuts I've heard of.
Okay. Hop tree, not to be confused with regular hops.
Right.
Hyssop. Jujube. Moringa. Mugwort. Mustard. Neem. Nutmeg. Oats. I'm sorry, not oats. Oak. So I'm not sure if it's the oak leaves or the oak bark, but oak. Olive leaves, onions, oregano, pennyroyal. Can't let dogs use pennyroyal, though. Pennyroyal is randomly bad for dogs. You don't know which one it'll affect, but supposedly it's
right.
Bad for the liver. Pine, pineapple, pomegranate, poplar, prickly ash, pumpkin seeds, which I knew that one, raspberry, probably the raspberry leaf primarily, but probably raspberries too, sage, sesame seeds, sneeze weed. Yeah, we'll have to look that one up. Spice bush, sumac, tansy, tarragon, tea tree, teasel, thyme, tulip tree, violets, watermelon, wheatgrass, wood, betony, worm seed, and worm wood. So let's look up sneeze weed. R S Sneezeweed, page 254. I passed it. 58, 56, 54. Okay. Sneeze weed. It's a yellow flower with a yellow middle. It's okay for humans, but not animals. So we could not put this in our animal feed. Sneeze weed is a yellow. Huh?
Is the difference between animals and humans?
Not according to the FDA. Man or other animals. Apparently, we are not animals, because if we were animals, we could not eat sneeze weed. Anyway.
It might be a necessary requirement that we don't.
Well, you know, if you do consume sneezeweed and it does affect you badly, then maybe you are an animal. You know, it's kind of like this story I tell from time to time. My son went to my ex, and she told, you know, he asked her about, you know, where we came from, and she told him the story of evolution and how we came from apes. And so then he came to me and asked me about it, and I told him the story of, you know, creation, God, blah, 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 Adam and Eve. And so he said, well, I'm confused. Mom says that we came from apes, but you said that God created us. And I said, oh, that's simple. She told you her family history, and I told you mine.
Out.
Right. So anyway, so yeah, that might be your family tree. I don't know. But anyway, I don't think it's mine. If I evolved from an animal, it was probably a cat. But anyhow. Yellow daisy-like flowers with globular middle. Angled stems, sometimes called swamp sunflower, because it looks, because it likes to grow near it likes to grow near water in the sand. Marcus Rothkran needs to install Grammarly into his computer. Anyway.
I tell you, these are his notes.
But still, Grammarly would help him with his notes. Anyway. Tea made from flour used for intestinal worms contains a strong anti-cancer lactone recognized by National Cancer Institutes. That's a shocker. Oh, well, they might recognize it, but they're not going to use it. Anyway.
Oh.
Okay for humans.
There's some weird tree that they were after because of its cancer-curing properties. And the tree almost went into extinction because of it.
Oh. Now, it's okay for humans, but too strong or poisonous for animals, worms, and insects. Keep away from grazing animals.
But don't grow it in our fields.
No. We'll have to grow it on the other property.
Right. Maybe JD's an animal. They might take care of that problem.
Right.
He wouldn't touch it anyway. He's scared of natural stuff.
You know, he calls himself a naturalist?
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Just my experience with him.
So, we got 15 minutes. Which one of these do we want to look up? I don't know if I could do worm seed because my pages got wet and that's just the back of the book and the back of the book got messed up. Worm seed, which is similar but not the same as wormwood, I think.
Does YouTube have a feature where you can search within somebody's list of videos?
I guess worm seed is the seed from the wormwood plant, because it doesn't have a separate whatever. What?
Does YouTube have a feature where you can search through somebody's list of videos?
Oh, somebody else's? You see their playlist or their favorites?
Right. I'm looking at Rothkrantz's page right here. I wanted to see what he had to say about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
If I type up in the search engine, it will give me a random selection of what everybody had to say on the subject, not just him. I want to separate just to him.
Oh, just his comments?
Just his videos.
Oh, that's easy. Just go to his page and click on videos.
Right.
And
I don't want
just his videos.
I want a list of his videos on a certain subject.
Oh, well, then you do a search after you go to that page.
Okay.
At least you used to be able to do that.
I'm on the page, and there's a little search thing down below. Okay. So, what was it you can't read about because...
Oh. No, it's not even in there.
Oh. Never mind then. Oh, that's funny. I'm on his page, and it's advertising all the foods that he's telling you not to eat. That's the advertisement for that page.
Oh, yeah, Google. Stupid Google.
Anyway, this is just over 20 minutes long. He's got a video on, are you sick? Don't blame germs. So.
Marcus Rothkrantz on parasites is what I looked up. And he's, the first thing that comes up is his self empowerment for the common good video. Oh, here we go. He's got a parasite cleanse video called Parasite Cleanse Secret Diet Tips and Improvement Things to Know.
Parasite free music video. Oh my God.
And then another one that says, being parasite-free rocks.
Yeah, that's the first one that came up on mine.
That's not a music video, though, is it?
No, that's third thing down on mine was parasite-free music video.
Oh, okay.
It's a minute and 12 seconds.
I have a new friend. His name is Bo Dan Mollo, and his story will freak you out.
Let me see if I can get to come over my speaker. Whoops. I got something playing already in the background. What's going on here?
This is kind of important. You got to watch this. At the end of this, you may have even used it just for this. So check it out. I had no idea there was a parasite. So I'd see like days worth of parasites. And that must really freak me out. That freaked me out. It changed my life. I told my parents right away. I was like, you guys, something happened today.
Yeah, you should probably get a colon cleanse. Not just the herbs, but what do they call that? A colostomy. I don't know what that thing's called. Where they stick this thing up your butt and they pump you full of water and they suck it all out.
Yeah.
Colonics.
Enema.
Well, or that, yeah. But if you go and get it done professionally, it's called a colonic. They hook you up to a machine. You get to see all the parasites that are in your body as they come out.
Yeah.
All the other garbage. But, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I almost went and had that done. I tried doing the enemas. I just don't like sticking stuff up my buttocks, so I'm going to stick to the herbs. But it probably wouldn't hurt to go do that every now and then.
Right. You do it from the other end. Pour lots of water in.
Well, yeah, basically feed your body right and your body will cure itself. You know, that's part of our disclaimer that I don't hardly play anymore because it's on the website. You can read it for yourself. But,
drink pickle juice. That'll clean you out.
Well, drink pickle juice. Drink lots of water. Eat these herbs and vegetables and fruits. Pomegranate. I had a pomegranate today. Pineapple. Let's see. Some of the stuff we have growing on our land. You know, basil. Everybody can grow basil. Bee balm. Black-eyed Susans. Black walnut. I don't know about some of the other stuff. Let's see here. Cedar. Chunca piedra. We can grow that in our zone, but it likes a warmer climate. But it'll grow in our zone. I looked into it already. Choke cherries. I don't remember what that is, but you want the choke cherry root. Cloves. We can grow that here. Cucumbers. Garlic.
The cherry trees we have under the oak tree might be choke cherries. Choke cherries
right,
are black. Most people can't stand them.
Oh, really? They are sour, but they're not, like, gross. All right, I'm going to look up choke cherries.
Jelly. People love the jelly, but they don't necessarily like the choke cherries themselves. You and I, probably the exception.
Right. Here it is, 288. Oh, it's on the same page as the cherry fruit.
Cool.
288. Okay. No, those are not choke cherries. These choke cherries grow off of the stem. And they grow real close to the stem. Kind of like mulberries do. But they actually grow real close to the leaves, too. Anyways, the leaves, though, on the choke cherry look similar, but not the same as mulberry leaves.
Interesting.
And the cherries look like
related.
The cherries look like they're not the same. They just have a similarity. The shape's not the same. It's just the way it looks, the texture and stuff. But anyways, the cherries look more like cranberries. So it's called the black cherry or choke cherry. Fruit is famous and wonderful, but don't eat the seeds, stems, twigs, or leaves. They are very toxic. White flowers are in vertical banana-shaped clusters. Okay. Anyways, making tea from inner bark treats diarrhea. Wait a minute. Didn't it just say not to eat the bark?
Yeah. Of the chokecherry?
Oh, the stems and the twigs. So I guess the tree bark from the trunk you can eat, but don't eat the stems or the twigs or the leaves or the seeds.
Well, if that's true, the chokecherry that I was making tea from, I've done everything that they told me not to.
It says it is very toxic. However, you know, small amounts probably not. Anyways, making tea from inner bark treats diarrhea. A very popular, common medicinal plant used to treat everything from indigestion to sore throat, gargle. Lots of antioxidants and anthrax. No, I'm kidding. Anthocyanins. Whatever that word is. Anyways, do not confuse with buckthorn, which has two seeds in the fruit and curved vines in the leaf. Curved veins in the leaf. I'll have to look that one up. Anyways, lost my place. Leaves. Okay, cherry leaf veins are straight. All right. So it does. There's two different types, I guess. There's a rough looking, bumpy one that has like the mulberry look to it, and then there's the regular leaves that look like a regular cherry leaf, which is interesting. All right, anyways, because the first picture I was looking at, they don't look like fruit leaves, where the second picture does. So, unless you consider mulberry a fruit. But anyways, most fruit trees have smooth, oval-like leaves, you know, pointy at both ends. Anyways, let's see here. Cherry leaf veins are straight. Also, do not confuse with poisonous cherry laurel, which has hard blue-black fruit. Choke cherries are very tart. Choke cherry bark and roots used medicinally by knowledgeable natives for sedatives, cough, tuberculosis, malaria, stomach aches, worms, respiratory issues. It's an astringent. Again, do not use bark, leaves, and seed from any Prunus species plums, cherries, peaches, nectarines, apricots, and almonds, unless you absolutely know what you're doing. Well, we was making cherry tea from the stems.
Right.
Didn't bother us.
No, it was very tasty. Nice and colorful, too.
That's interesting. Unless you absolutely know what you're doing, only use the fruit. There is a recipe in the Free Food and Medicine DVD set recipe booklet for choke cherry macaroons, which can also be bought online at turtlelakerefuge.org. I love these. They taste awesome. So, I guess, you know, there is this, oh, here's the wild cherries. Let me see. Okay, so it's showing the difference between the wild cherry leaves and the choke cherry leaves. The choke cherry leaves look like the mulberry type that I was talking about, and the wild cherries look like regular cherry leaves. So it's talking about wild cherries next. It says, all cherries are very high in quercetin. Quercetin. I don't know. That sounds familiar, though. Like it might be one of those things that that they were talking about for the corona. But I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Pen cherries are highest, which help your body to resist, help your body be resistant to pain. University studies have taken pen cherry extract and applied it to tumors, and many of the tumors fell off. Cherries are high in vitamin A, iron, lycopene, and lycopenes. It's a laxative. Yeah, don't drink too much cherry juice. Whew. Anyway, stimulates internal organs, prevents tooth decay. Cavities, good for prostate, lots of antioxidants. It's also an anti-aging ager. The cherries are edible, but the leaves, bark, and the pits are poisonous.
Based on,
I don't know. He didn't give his resource. So basically, based on Marcus Rothkranz, you know, that's basically, you know, we always say do your own homework. Now, here's the, I guess you might call it a caveat. David and I can both eat deadly nightshade. We can eat things that most people can't eat. So, you know, if, say, something is poisonous and we can eat it, doesn't mean necessarily you can eat it. We would make horrible taste testers for the royalty unless you don't like the royalty. Then we would be great royal taste testers. But anyway, just don't tell
they
them that.
They would die because of us. And we'd
just
be,
don't tell them.
We'd be living large, eating the good stuff.
Exactly. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I freaked this lady out. I was doing my foraging and exploring videos on YouTube, and one day I was eating deadly nightshade, and they taste like asparagus, by the way, and not the big ones, the little purple flowers with the white, with the yellow center and where the flower petals fold back. Those taste like asparagus. But anyway, I didn't know that those were deadly nightshade. I was familiar with the big purple flower one that has like the black center. And I knew that as belladonna or deadly nightshade. I didn't know this one to be deadly nightshade. So I was eating it. No big deal. And then I didn't post a video for a week or two. Because I got busy or something, I don't know. She freaked out. This one of my viewers freaked out. She thought I died. And then I posted another video, and she was like, oh my gosh, thank God you're alive. Had her
funny.
Freaked out. So, anyway, yeah. So, I mean, I don't go around eating it now because I know what it is. But at the same time, nothing really happened to me, you know. I don't remember having any side effects from it. You know, it might have made me sleepy, but that's about it. But I'm always sleepy, so who knows. I need more energy herbs. But
More sleep.
more sleep. Yeah, I don't know. I sleep, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day, but I don't know. Anyways. So anyways, I guess that concludes the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. We are in overtime. But feel free to call in on Mondays and talk about whatever herbs, minerals, vitamins, homeopathic remedies you want to talk about. Or if you got an illness you want us to look up in the book, if it's in the book. But, you know, there's always Google, too. But you can always buy the book. But then again, Google, you know, Google's trying to censor everything. And Google might tell you wrong. Google might tell you that elderberries are poisonous when they're not.
Yeah.
So definitely get
what's that number if I wanted to call in?
Hell if I know. Go to freefoodandmedicine.org. Hang on, I can look it up. The phone number is 515-604-9926. Again, 515-604-9926. And the extension is 128-374. Again, 128-374. And if that ain't come out clear or you forget it, just go to freefoodandmedicine.org and you can find it there. We will try to be on schedule every Monday at 7 p.m. If not, you know, send us a message on Discord or Facebook or, I don't know, you want to give out your phone number?
Hey, I give my number out to everybody. Yeah, you can give me a phone call.
Yeah, 417-876-7288. Again, that's 417-876-7288. If we're not here at 7 p.m. Monday evening, I almost said Monday morning. Monday evening, 7 p.m. Monday morning. Shoot us a holler. Remind us. Shoot. Text or call us at 6 p.m. so we're not late. Because we should be doing our ScrapGov Scrap podcast at 6 and then our Free Food and Medicine podcast at 7. Okay. And check out ManicMondayPodcast.com to see our other podcasts, past, present, or future. Okay, I guess that's it. Party on.
Bye, folks.